And I pray that I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you want to see another appearance of Dave the Donkey, I see the Ibbotsons have got the text with them this morning. So if you want to see Dave, then there's Aaron. Some of his friends might appear in future. But from today's readings, it would appear that being able to prove your identity has always been important. And one of the ways that that we do that these days is we just have our passports, and that's quite an easy way of doing it. So can you imagine what the passport application for Jesus might look like? So I have the passport application form here. I thought we'd just fill it in. First or given name. Well, that would be Jesus. Family name. Christ. Previous or other names. Messiah. King of Kings. Title. Mr. Mrs. Ms. Dr. Reverend Lord. Oh, Lord. How convenient. Place of birth. Town. Bethlehem. Place of birth, country, Israel. Date of birth, 25th December, 0000. Mother's maiden name, Mary. Mother's occupation, virgin. Father's name, Joseph on earth, God in heaven. Father's occupation. See above. Carpenter / creator, respectively. Current address, no fixed abode. Occupation. Son of God. Preacher, healer, miracle worker. That should do. Are you able to provide two pictures and images? Yes, lots of those about. Distinguishing marks and identifying. Distinguishing marks. Big hole in one side. Nail holes in both wrists / hands. Other important information. Please attach separate sheet if needed. Just risen from the dead, sea sheets known as the Bible, ESP, New Testament bit. I should do it. Thomas was clearly wanting to understand the true identity of who Jesus was. And it's easy to be really quite down on Thomas, but if you think about it, Thomas has been with the disciples now for a week. They have had what has been a life-changing experience for them. And Thomas must be, you know, disappointed, frustrated that he missed out on this, on what has happened. And you can sense just the feeling that Thomas has of kind of I've missed out on this. And it probably won't ever happen again. And yet, Thomas has stuck with the disciples all week because he's still there. And you can imagine that after having had such an experience of meeting the risen Christ, the disciples, they'd be talking about nothing else. And all through the week, Thomas would be thinking, I've missed this. Why wasn't I there? You know, why did I go shopping? And all that Thomas is looking for is the same experience as the other disciples have already had. Jesus says to the disciples, look at my hands, look at my side. And there's a sense in which all Thomas is saying is, I'd like a bit of that too. I miss that. And I would like that too. We're now a week later, the day of resurrection in the following week, and Jesus comes and he appears to the disciples and to Thomas. And we hear the words, and we see the words, that almost identify who Thomas is in our kind of subconscious. If we ask people generally what do they remember about Thomas, it would be doubting Thomas. You know, unless I see the wounds, unless I see and can touch the nail marks and the side of Christ, you know, I can't believe. I can't have that same experience as the other disciples, is another way of putting it. All he wants is that same experience, and all we generally remember of Thomas is that doubt. And Jesus says to Thomas, you know, come and feel, come and touch. And then Thomas utters probably one of the most profound phrases in the New Testament, and we forget it in the unless I see bit. Because Thomas, when Christ invites him to touch him, says quite simply, my Lord and my God. And in that simple phrase, which is a small phrase, you know, from a vocabulary point of view, but deeply profound in terms of faith and theology, what Thomas is doing is declaring Jesus as God. And in the rest of the New Testament, Jesus we see as the Son of God, but never as the deity himself. And that's what Thomas is expressing. And in so doing, he's linking back right to the Garden of Eden, because the phrase, my Lord, my God, linking those two together, we haven't seen and read about in the Bible since the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve were talking to the Lord God, Yahweh Elohim. And that's the phrase that Thomas is using. And it's just as Adam and Eve were expelled from the Garden of Eden, and that distance between God was introduced. In the upper room, as Thomas addresses Jesus as God, the distance between God and humankind has disappeared. It's as profound and as simple as that. The distance that had appeared when Adam and Eve were expelled from the Garden of Eden has been removed. And in Jesus saying to Thomas, reach out and touch me, he's saying, reach out and touch God. And that's why Thomas's life and the life of the disciples was never the same after that. Because just as they understood that true identity of Christ, they themselves took on a new identity. John, being John, has set us up for this at the beginning of his gospel, because the Word was God, and the Word came to dwell among us. So John set this up, and he's kind of, this is the one too. And as Thomas says, my Lord and my God, that brings to completion what Christ is about on earth. And the disciples, in that new identity, are completely transformed. Charlie mentioned a few weeks ago how the disciples who were, you know, a quivering bunch hiding behind locked doors, suddenly were transformed into a group of people who couldn't stop themselves speaking about the power of Christ and the power of the resurrection, as they themselves were empowered by the Holy Spirit, which Jesus had given him as God on, given them as God on earth. The disciples understood their true identity, their transformed identity, as being new creations. And as we acknowledge too the identity of Christ, we too take on that new identity as people who are new creations, as sons and daughters of God. We are that new creation that the disciples saw and understood when Jesus stood among them. We, like Thomas, often have all our doubts and are not very sure about things, and sometimes, you know, our faith itself seems to be in doubt. You know, does God really exist? You know, what was Christ doing? We too have those doubts. And that's okay, because there is place in faith for doubt. And in a sense, without doubt, there is no true faith. But we also, just as we have the doubts of Thomas, need to also acknowledge my Lord and my God, so that we can live out that new creation which is within us because of the death and the resurrection of Christ, so that we can be transformed into our true identities, reflecting God and being made in his true image, and so that we can help those in our world who have the doubts but not the certainty of my Lord and my God, so that they too can be transformed and know truly that the distance between humankind and God is eliminated, and we have that relationship with God through the death and resurrection of Christ. My Lord and my God. Amen.